WMSO Radio.
North Shore Now.
News and sports. North Shore Today. Brought to you by the Sylvan Street Grill and the Bradford Tavern. A great place to meet and a great place to eat. Hi, everyone, and welcome to North Shore Today with Rick Moore. I'm Bill Newell. Thanks for being with us. It's a Tuesday, the 17th day of May. And, Rick, we've got a bunch of news stories to tell the folks about from Salem to Lynn up to Cape Ann and so on. So hang in there with us. And our guest will run the interview that you did, Rick, with Salem Mayor Kimberly Driscoll yesterday. So that'll be coming up as part of North Shore Today.
Yep, covered a range of topics with Mayor Driscoll yesterday, catching up on things going on in Salem, and always good to talk with the mayor. She's got a lot of stuff that she mentions.
Well, in the front page of the Salem News today, in a story there, they're talking about adding 100 new jobs to the city of Salem. This is a Dustin Lucas story. But a company renting space downtown on the corner of Norman and Summer Streets seeks to expand the building and bring about 100 new jobs to the city. Commonwealth Diagnostics International, which operates a life sciences business with about 50 employees out of Holyoke Mutual Facility building on in Holyoke Square. Let me just see here. I got to get down here. So anyways, they're looking to expand and do some renovations and bring some jobs to the city of Salem. So,
well, in Gloucester, the big thing is the Fuller School, the Fuller School sale, again, as we've talked about many times. Property at Blackburn Circle is up for sale and is an agreement, I guess, with the YMCA and some other people. But the sale deadline has been extended, according to an article by Ray Lamont. Representatives negotiating a purchase and sale agreement between the city of Gloucester and the YMCA-led Fuller Mixed Use Ventures Partnership that's buying the former Fuller School property have extended until June 30 their self-imposed deadline to nail down the $5.6 million deal. And just as a reminder, the property was once worth $20 million. It's now being sold for $5.6 million. Probably net about $2 million out of that when all is said and done. So that's interesting. I'm just trying to see. I think there was one more deal here. Yeah, the Audubon Society is also going back out to 10 Pound Island in Gloucester. A city commission visit to 10 Pound Island by a group from Mass Audubon last month found no endangered or threatened plant, animal, or bird species. There is some move afoot to have more people go out to 10 Pound Island to visit it, but there are conservationists in Gloucester who say that's not a good idea, leave it as it is. So that controversy is a controversy, and it will continue for a while.
Another story on the front page of the Salem News today, that the intersection of Route 128 and 62. Yeah, everybody knows that, but apparently the state's $23 million project meant to make the interstate interchange on Route 128 and 62 safer appears to have only made things worse. A meeting with the Board of Selectmen is planned for Tuesday night to address what the police chief calls a horrible intersection. So they have some lists of crashes. And back in 2010, they had an average of just about 4 crashes a month there. Then it went up to 5.6 in 2011. It went up to 8, then not in the 9s. And in 2016, this year, it's a 9.4 monthly average of crashes at that intersection. I was just there in the past week, and I'm just getting used to it too. I'm not there all that often, but it is nicer. But yet, on the other hand, that was a crazy little intersection before, but all the townies knew how to navigate it.
And so did we who use it. That's coming out of Danvers back up onto 128. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah,
where they have all these lights now.
Yeah, they have lights and they have lanes, yeah. And it's you know, all the things that you want, well marked. Well defined, but well,
about,
yeah.
Huh?
What I'm saying is, it's got all the lanes. It's well marked. There are lights there. You know, everything that you might want, but it's not safer.
No, it doesn't work, and it's because of the lights and so on. And it took me about 15 minutes to get from the lights at the bottom of the hill there by the school to get up to the bridge to the on ramp, and it's brutal. It's absolutely. It wasn't broken before, so there you go.
Well, I probably some debate on that. And the other thing is that road, you know, the road, Rick, from 62 that goes down to Danversport, That road right now is closed. Imagine if that road was open. I mean, you can't cut through there anymore down to 35 because of the bridge work.
Yep.
Imagine if that were open. I was thinking about that. I was thinking about that the other day. I said, wow, this traffic would be even worse if that road were open, because I made the mistake of going down there trying to think that I could cut through and head back to the scenic way. But you live and learn, and I thought that might be closed because I thought that we had talked about something like that, and I thought it was in the news, but wasn't quite sure. So I tried it, lost, and so on. So there you go. But if you're a Danvers resident, you know all about that. A
couple of other things. Yeah, I know. It's like being a Monday morning quarterback, I guess. A couple of things with the Angel program, Bill.
Yeah.
LaPorte, Indiana has joined on. They recently announced that the LaPorte City Police Department has joined the Angel program, and they're calling it their Angel Initiative as well. And that brings to a total of 106 police departments in 24 states that have joined the Angel program that was started in Gloucester last year. So it is really
I know. I've got a couple of other stories. If I look on the front page of the Lynn Item, they have a story on the Swampscott town meeting. They approved a proposal from Benet Brith on a housing covenant Commonwealth Corp on Monday to build affordable senior housing at the shuttered Michonne Elementary School. Also a story on the front page of the Item of the Hilltop. Everyone knows the iconic plastic cows and the huge cactus. The cactus is still there, I guess, and the restaurant's gone. It's all leveled, but apparently there's a company, and this is the Thomas Grillo story on the front page of the Item, that there's a story that this company, Avalon Bay, is going to take over the land. And one of the things they don't know for sure, because they weren't able to get a hold of this company, but looking at some of the projects that this group has done before, is they do kind of high-end townhouses, but with a commercial piece on the bottom. So there could be some commercial entities like a restaurant or stores on the bottom, but then also some, townhouses or whatever, condos, something like that, I would imagine, on the top. Again, that's all unconfirmed, but a good story in the Item today, looking at the property, the old Hilltop Steakhouse property in Saugus. Let's see. Ipswich town elections are today. We had that story from yesterday. So, in Danvers, voters around the town will now be faced with a ballot question on whether to adopt a Community Preservation Act in November following Monday night's town meeting. So that's moving forward. That calls for a tax, a surcharge on some businesses and homes or something like that. So that apparently will go to the voters in Danvers Too bad they couldn't preserve the old intersection at Route 128 and 62 in Danvers.
Yeah, the good old days.
What else do we have here today? Any other gripes, Rick, or anything else you want to share with the folks here?
No, I'm pretty miserable today because I don't have any gripes.
That's right. Just not himself today. Yeah.
No.
He's a little off. He's pleasant.
I do. I should point out, Bill, I know we haven't got to sports yet, but I had a great talk last night with Charles Lairson, who is now Rook of the Yogi, about Ty Cobb, among others. He's got three fantastic books that are very, very popular. And it was great talking with Charles Lairson about Ty Cobb and setting the record straight. So the first 15, 20 minutes or so on North Shore Sports Night, I really encourage you to listen in. And, of course, the rest of the show ain't too bad either.
Yeah, a lot of guests on that. So you can click on that, and that's the author of the Ty Cobb book that Rick was talking about. He broke up just a moment ago when he was saying that. But all right, so we've got Mayor Kim Driscoll coming on board with us, and also Heather Atwood, right? Heather Atwood from we'll put a Heather in there as well, correct?
It's up to you, Heather Atwood or Kate Fox. I don't know which one you're using.
Oh,
Heather,
Kate Fox, right. Okay, that's fine. Yeah, Kate Fox. Sorry.
And Kate Fox is, again, there's a lot going on, coming up in Salem. Kate Fox, the director of Destination Salem, all kinds of good things going on. So, yeah, that's
gotcha.
Cool.
Okay, there you go. So there you go. That's all coming up. So Mayor Driscoll, Kate Fox, Destination Salem, all coming up here on North Shore today. And then sports.
At the office of Salem Mayor Kim Driscoll, I'm Rick Moore with MSO News Sports. Madam Mayor, been a while since I've been here, and the first thing I just noticed with this orientation, you got this giant screen. What is that on the wall there?
We're finally in the 21st century. It's a great tool for us when we're doing presentations, reviewing budgets, going through our city stat data. To be able to pull it up on the screen and review it has been a really nice opportunity to see things in a different light.
Well, I know that you're into the 21st century with all of your social media information that you give out from City Hall. So now this is going to be a stupid question. Do you run this technology here yourself?
Yeah, it's great, actually. It connects to a desktop or a laptop. You know, it's all wireless now, so it's fantastic, literally, for city stat data, presentations when we have folks coming in, senior staff, we can pull it up and review a particular issue or problem. We were Google mapping the other day, just like, oh, let's take a look at the site. Very easy, so it's
cool.
Nice. Yeah.
Very cool. Okay, before we turn the recorder on, I was asking you, it's been a long time since I've been here, asking you about updates on Salem. You mentioned a few things. You've got some business enterprise questions, I guess, or ongoing and things like that. Maybe a quick précis as to what's happening in the great city of Salem.
Yeah, thank you. So it's budget season. We're definitely working on trying to wrap up our FY17 budget, getting that into the council later this month. We've had a long conversation going on with FW Webb, a business that's been in Salem for the last six decades that's looking to expand, causing some controversy with respect to concerns neighbors and abutters have raised. And we're trying to work through that. I'm hopeful we're on a path forward that's positive. We're also working on the beginning of a new harbor plan process for the abutting 45 acres to the power plant. The power plant's under construction. Things are going well there. Thank you to the neighborhood for putting up with all the additional disruptions while that's underway. But we also want to start thinking about the remaining 45 acres around it and how we can work collaboratively to think about what happens next there.
Going back to the budget, if I may, Madam Mayor, what were some of the obstacles that you had to overcome this time around?
Yeah, we're not seeing an increase in local aid, so that's definitely been a bit of a hardship. Some of that's driven by charter school reimbursements, so our assessments are up. But as you know, costs don't go down, so our pensions are up in other areas. We still also think that we need to invest more in aging infrastructure, you know, more road work, more sidewalk work. When you live in a city as historic as Salem, it feels like you can never put enough dollars and keep up with those items. We're also trying to make an increased revenue, or I guess an increased action with respect to opiates, and working with our police department as part of a social peer program, social service and peer program to try and at least prevent or address opiates in a bigger way than we have in the past. So there's a few items that we're investing in that are going to cost a bit more, but I just think super necessary.
I was going to ask you about union contracts, but the opiate thing, obviously, you know, Gloucester, the news coming out of Gloucester front and center with their Angel program has been, I want to say, 99.9% positive. Chief Tucker, former Chief Tucker, state senator from the area, representative from Salem, former Chief Tucker is very vocal in working on that as well. So they're really, Chief Campanello up in Gloucester wanted to change the conversation. And boy, I'd say in the last year, it really has changed.
Absolutely. To start thinking more about addiction as a disease, not a crime, and then working to both prevent, advocate, and support, you know, families and those who unfortunately find themselves in a predicament, which are more and more people. The number of overdoses in Salem are staggering, not unlike what we're seeing in other parts of the Commonwealth, and we need to invest more resources to address this.
Also, and I know this is a little bit off topic, but there was a disposal program for prescriptions a couple of weeks ago in the area, last week or the week before, all over the area. Mm-hmm. And I went through my medicine cabinet, and I found some old painkillers from when I had surgery and kidney stones and that kind of thing. And I found one of them. It was oxycodone, I think it's called. And it was a prescription for 30 pills, and I counted them. There were 29 pills in there, so obviously I had taken one. But I'm thinking, why in God's name would anybody prescribe that many for me? So there's also that issue, people becoming more aware advocating for oneself, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. I think the governor and the AG and a number of state officials in the House and the Senate as well have really decided we're going to put down, you know, a comprehensive plan that's not just about providing services to addicts, but also recognizing where folks are getting, you know, this, these prescriptions. Mm-hmm. Most people are starting out on some sort of prescription. So it's so incredibly important and so incredibly difficult to hear these stories and listen to families who have been impacted by this disease. People cannot stop once they start.
And we all know someone.
You got it. As the mother of three teenagers, it scares the life
Absolutely.
Out of you.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Amen to that. Very briefly, back to the budget. Union contracts?
Yeah, so we have wrapped up the vast majority of our union contracts. We're still in negotiations on the school side with both teachers and our school-based AFSCME, but we're hoping to be close to getting an agreement with our teachers as well.
A couple of new principals on the docket, I guess. What's your assessment overview of schools this year?
Yeah, I'm really feeling hopeful. This is the first full year of our new superintendent, and I think we were on a path that was heading in the right direction, and she's just really strengthened all of those efforts. We had two acting principals this year who are staying here full-time, so that's great. I think we had a chance to really see them in action, and they had a chance to see if this was a good fit for them. And then we have two new principals coming on board, one at the Carleton School, a principal who resigned, did great work, and is resigning to go live internationally, and the principal at the Bentley School, who also started up our Level 4 school and did some yeoman's work putting in place our new Horace Mann charter there, is leaving to pursue some other interests. So an opportunity to bring on two new people as well, both coming from the system, I should say. Mm-hmm. So promotions within those schools, and I think we do want to have a good feeder system and provide teacher leadership opportunities. So it's great.
Very nice. Couple of quick questions finally. I asked you in our pregame warm-up here about a marijuana dispensary, and I just saw a shrug. A little more about that.
Yeah.
Is there one in the area or whatever?
There is. We have a medical marijuana dispensary in Salem. It's on Grove Street. I think we were the first one to open in the Commonwealth just by virtue of the fact that the permits got issued at the state level initially. It's operated here. This will be its first full year in operation. We've had very few issues, if any. And I shrugged because it hasn't created large issues mm-hmm. either in the neighborhood. And we do have a community benefits agreement with them, a host agreement where they're paying for additional resources in the area around transportation and access and circulation. So it hasn't, really generated much negativity.
Well, I take the shrug as a real positive reaction.
It's illegal, it's legal in Massachusetts to have medical marijuana.
But no issues, that's the big thing.
No issues.
Excellent.
No issues.
Okay, finally, summer is upon us. We've got about three more weeks to go, and the outlook for summer in Salem.
We are excited about a couple of new things happening. One, we're hoping to start up a water taxi service just intra-Salem. So from Pickering Wharf and Blaney Street and Winter Island, the Willows, really want to find ways to get more residents and visitors out on the water and enjoying Salem Sound. We are wrapping up completion of the commercial marina at Blaney Street next door to where the ferry operates or at the same location. So again, increased activities in waterfront. And I think we're really hoping that Salem, the weather will cooperate and we'll have a great season for people who live here as well as visitors and tourists that are coming to visit.
Going to happen. Thank you.
I think so.
All right. That's Salem Mayor Kim Driscoll. Back at Destination Salem with Executive Director Kate Fox. And Kate, it's been a while. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How you doing?
Very well, very well. The last time we talked about your traveling, and you had been, I believe, on a junket somewhere for tourism. Do you remember what that was? You talking with bus companies or something like that?
Right. So I was at the I've had two trade shows this year. One is the American Bus Association trade show where I was talking to tour operators planning visits to Salem and Massachusetts. And then I've also been to the Discover New England Summit, which was in Newport. And that's international tour operators and travel writers who are looking to send people from all over the world to New England.
Travel writers. Now, have you actually talked with, do they go to these shows as well?
They do go to these shows, and they come to Salem. We do a lot of what's called familiarization or fam tours, where we set up a visit for a travel writer or a tourism, like a tour operator, somebody who's going to generate business in travel and tourism for us. So they come from all over the world.
Have you talked with someone who's got some stories to tell? I mean, they come from all over the world, so they must visit places all over the world as well.
They do. I it's funny. They love to. I always ask what their favorite place, their favorite destination is, and they and it ranges from people who say, "Oh, Paris, I love Paris," and then somebody will say that they loved a small town in California they visited, and of course they all put Salem at the top of the list.
Oh, well, they better, right? What about you and all the places you've been? What's your favorite so far, aside from Salem?
Oh, I love Dublin, and we go out to Arizona. We have family out in Arizona, so we go out there a lot, and we're big fans of the West.
Well, when I was in Ireland, we stayed down south from west to east and then back to west again. We didn't get up to Dublin, but I'm told is it similar to Boston?
It's very similar to Boston, and actually I've only been to Dublin. I haven't gotten out of the city in Ireland, and we would really like to do that because we felt like we weren't seeing all of Ireland. We were seeing a very metropolitan version.
Well, I recommend you put in for whatever you need to do and as part of your trade show things and bring some of the Irish over here to Salem because it's a great place to visit, obviously. Well, Kate, summer is almost upon us. The weather eventually will get better. it's moderating a bit. But Salem, as we know, you've got something going all year round. And tell us a little bit about what's happening now.
We do, and it's sunny, so I'll take the sun, and hopefully the temperature will come up, because this weekend we start the Derby Flea and Salvage Market, which is a new initiative that's going to happen in Derby Square, down behind Old Town Hall on Front Street, and it's a flea market, salvage market, vintage experience, and it's going to be on the on Saturdays. It's the third Saturday of the month, May through October, and we also have the Salem Arts Festival coming June 3rd through 5th. They're celebrating things that move, especially pinwheels. So that's free, and it's family-friendly, and I encourage people to come down and take advantage. Mark your calendars for the Salem Arts Festival, June 3rd to 5th. And then we are all awestruck by the new Rodin exhibit at the Peabody Essex Museum, which just opened May 14th, and it's Rodin transforming sculptor. They have several castings of The Thinker. They have Walking Man. It is a beautiful exhibition. It's come to Salem from Montreal, and so I encourage people to include that in their summer mm-hmm. plans.
Now, I didn't know. The only thing I'm familiar with Rodin is The Thinker, the one sculpture, but he obviously is famous for other stuff.
He is. He has. They have several galleries full of the work of all sizes from Rodin, and he really, the way he casts the human form is just amazing, and he's remarkably talented. I laugh because I put a picture of Thinker on Facebook, and several people said they loved him in Night at the Museum too. so now I have visions of the Peabody Essex coming to life.
Absolutely.
After dark.
Don't we all? Every time you see one of those movies, don't you think of that though?
Oh yeah, I think the figureheads are probably having a great time at the PEM at night.
Now the Salem Arts Festival, where is that? Where do we go for that?
Centrally located down by Old Town Hall, but I think they have events, and then Front Street, Old Town Hall, Front Street, Derby Square, and then people are doing things that connect to the arts festival around town, but definitely visit salem.org to find links to everything that's mm-hmm. going on all summer.
I was going to ask you, what's the best way to find out about this? Now, salem.org is the Destination Salem website?
It is, and we will, in June, we're launching a whole new Salem.org, so next time I talk to you, I'm sure I'll be gushing about that. And we have the calendar of events, listings for businesses, maps, parking, all those important details.
All right, we'll see you next month.
Great, thanks.
That's Kate Fox, Destination Salem.
Welcome back to North Shore Today, time for our sports segment. And Rick, I got to have you come back here and recap what happened on North Shore Sports Night, because folks can click on the post and listen to it at any time they want today. So what do you have?
We have a ton of scores from last night, as many as we could get, certainly. And besides talking with Charles Learson, who is an author, wrote a book about Ty Cobb that sets the record straight up. And that became very popular. But he also, Charles Larson, also talks about how to research for these books and the great story about Ty Cobb. There's a great book about the Indianapolis 500, the first Indy 500, and also the most famous horse in horse racing history that nobody knows the name of, or very few people do. But also we had Gary Larrabee. Gary updates the local golf scene, as well as looks back on over the weekend golf, the Players Tournament, and upcoming tournaments. Gary's awesome, as always. Bob Boyce was on. Bob Boyce is an assistant baseball coach at Danvers. And Bill, it was a tough game last night for Danvers and Revere. I'm not going to go over the details because they're very strange, but Danvers ran up the biggest base, not ran up, but Danvers had the biggest baseball score I've ever heard of in a high school game. And it had to be a very difficult time for Revere and for the Danvers kids as well, but Danvers winning last night. Danvers has now, I think they're 14-2 overall. We talked with Beverly LaCrosse. Right now, and they've got four games left. Three of them are with Division I schools. And we also caught up on Cape Ann Sports with Gloucester Times Sports Editor Nick Kukru.
And Danvers, in today's edition of the Salem News, Matt Williams is reporting that Danvers has promoted Jarhan Giddings as their new head basketball coach, boys basketball coach, succeeding John Walsh. He had been with Walsh as an assistant coach for 3 years, so great experience there. But congratulations to Jarhan Giddings, the new boys basketball coach at Danvers High School. And I was looking for one other score here. Let's see here. Oh, Beverly baseball team. They are on a roll as they knocked off Lynn Classical. Beverly, remember we talked to Coach Dave Wilbur earlier in the year. They were young. They didn't know how well they were going to do. Lost a lot of players from last year's team. After last night's win over Lynn Classical, a 3-1 decision, they are now 11-3 this season. And also, Salem baseball has really turned it around under first-year coach Gavin Softick. They're now 7-8, winning yesterday against Saugus, 18-7. So, and then Gloucester, Marblehead earned a tournament bid yesterday with a 9-7 win over Gloucester in 8 innings up in Gloucester. So that sounded like a pretty exciting game up there.
It was a good one. Gloucester was down 7-3 in the bottom of the 7th. They tied it up, and then Marblehead went on to win in extra innings.
All right, so we'll keep folks posted on things. I know that that was the score from the other day. I think the Beverly Lacrosse team, I don't know if I have it right in front of me. I think they're playing at Wellesley or Lexington today. Hold on here, I'll get that. But they're at Wellesley. So the Beverly Boys Lacrosse team is at Wellesley today. They're on the road playing probably a very good program there. All right, that'll do it for us for today. With Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Again, our guests, Mayor Kim Driscoll of Salem, Kate Fox from Destination Salem with us right here on North Shore today.
MSO Radio is where you can hear live play-by-play sports. Stay connected with North Shore newsmakers. Listen to exclusive sports interviews with coaches and players. North Shore News Radio. North Shore Sports Radio.